Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. Northwestern beat Florida Atlantic, a Final Four team last year. I was there to see it, first round of the NCAA tournament. How you like that?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. That's great. How'd the UConn game go? Not quite as good, right? Not quite as
Tony,
good.
Tony, we beat Florida Atlantic in the first round.
That's great. That's great. And then you came up against the overall number one. It's different. The overall number one is there for a reason. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Kim Mulkey is mad. NFL owners contemplate the kickoff, and Shohei Ohtani has some explaining to do. But we begin today with the men's tournament. There's not a Cinderella in the field. Yale, Oakland, Duquesne, Grand Canyon, and James Madison are all one win and done. All the number ones and twos have advanced to the Sweet 16, UConn and Purdue by large margins. Wilbon, what is your biggest takeaway so far?
Tony, I think it's that the number ones are better than I probably thought. I think I texted you Friday night or Saturday morning and said, Tony, I think the two number ones could go out in the first weekend, not the first round, first weekend. I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, those teams really look good. They had double-digit wins. Purdue, after being a close game in the second round game for a while, for like 10 minutes, they just blew the doors off their opponent. And so, obviously, look, Northwestern, I think we got within 18. We got within 13 a couple of times. We couldn't close it. I mean, UConn is better. The number one seed. Now, Houston had some drama last night. That was a wonderful game against Texas A&M. A wonderful game they could have lost. But, Tony, I think my takeaway is that I'm not going to get into the number twos yet, but the number one seeded teams, the committee is justified. The committee got it right, at least so far. So kudos to them and those number one seeds.
I'm going to talk to that point. I think the seeding part was absolutely perfect because the ones are through and the twos are through. In 16 games on Saturday and Sunday, only two teams that were lower seeded won. One was Gonzaga, a 5. They beat Kansas. It's never an upset when Gonzaga wins. And the other one was Clemson, a 6. And Clemson's in a basketball conference, the ACC. So they play two really good teams every single week. They're not a Cinderella, and neither is North Carolina State for the same reasons. What I think the committee got wrong was the teams they invited in. And I'm going to say this, Mike. In the last 40 years, there have been two great basketball conferences, the Big East and the ACC. The Big East only got three teams in. All three are in the Sweet 16. The ACC got five teams in. Four of the five are in the Sweet 16, whereas the Big 12, a football conference, got eight in and six are out. The SEC, a football conference, got eight in and six are out. The Mountain West got six teams in and five are out. So I think that there should have been more from the ACC and the Big East. My thrill of the whole week was Yale. That's a fabulous win over Auburn. Greatest win in Yale's history. Second for me was Oakland beating Kentucky. I think John Calipari is not wanted by the fans of Kentucky anymore. But my disappointment, Mike, was
early.
Oakland had a chance to win that game. It's a tie game against NC State with 15 seconds to go. They didn't even get a play. Didn't give a shot. They gave a shot. And by the way, team that everybody said was going to be great, McNeese State, they stunk. Go ahead.
Well, I was there with people said a lot of stuff. People said Mississippi State was going to be great, too. They weren't. I was in the game. I watched James Madison beat Wisconsin. Beat them. Control the game. And people thought James Madison could win. So, Tony,
them.
I had expectations, you know, mild ones, going into the James Madison, the Dukes against Duke yesterday in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I had
Duke
mild expectations. Those were dashed very early.
Yeah,
so that
early.
Cinderella
early
run was over. It's been entertaining. There have been some entertaining games, I find.
On the women's side, one seed South Carolina and Texas are into the Sweet 16 with Iowa and USC trying to join them tonight. As for two seeds, Ohio State got bounced by Duke while Stanford survived Iowa State in overtime. And three seed LSU made it through over Middle Tennessee following head coach Kim Mulkey's denunciation of a story she says the Washington Post is writing about her. Wilbon, what is most compelling here?
South Carolina, Tony. I mean, each game I tuned in fairly early only to go, what? They're up by what? And I watched South Carolina early in these games run these leads up in the 20s while you're watching. Like, it's a slot machine, and the numbers are just turning over. And South Carolina, wow. We asked Andrea Carter last week, like, who is South Carolina's biggest threat? And it's interesting that part of her answer was only South Carolina. Because if they play to their capabilities, and they have through two games, ain't nobody going to beat them. So I so far at South Carolina, and Tony, the women's tournament does not have the history of upsets early that the men's tournament has. That's the culture of each tournament is different. The personality of each tournament is different. So we're not looking for that quite the same way. I still like Stanford. I know they were involved in the tussle. They seem like a team that if they confronted South Carolina has certain advantages. Maybe I'm crazy, but South Carolina for me so far is just a wow.
I'm going to amplify everything that you have said. South Carolina is a freight train. They have won two games by a total of 99 points. Let me repeat that.
It's unbelievable.
99 points. Okay, they beat the first round. They went 91-39 and the second round 88-41. I know that they lost in a similar circumstance last year when they were undefeated coming in. I understand that. But it is hard for me to believe that anyone is going to beat South Carolina. My second takeaway actually is LSU. They've had to struggle in both of their games. They had to sweat out two wins, and they are the defending national champions. I now really want to see them play Iowa. You know, I think that would be in the round of eight. If everything goes through, they play Iowa. I will watch Caitlin Clark tonight eagerly. It's her last game in Iowa.
Yes,
it would not surprise me if that got a higher number than any of the men's games. I'm not saying it will. It wouldn't surprise me. And I think we should probably mention Kim Mulkey. Now, Kim Mulkey is a great coach, a terrific coach, and she sees the press as an enemy, which happens a lot in America these days. She is publicly defiant. She is somewhat over-controlling. She does not want to be covered in the way the champions are covered, which is in-depth. Kent Babb has a story in the Washington Post. He's a terrific writer and reporter. I know that you join me in thinking it will be 100% accurate, and it will not be defamatory. It is not going to be defamatory. We turn now to baseball, and the game's biggest star, Shohei Ohtani, under a spotlight. His longtime interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, has been fired amid charges that he stole Ohtani's money to gamble illegally. The organized crime part of the federal government is looking into a particular bookie. I think it's pronounced Matthew Boyer, and Ohtani's name surfaced. Originally, the story was Ohtani paid off Mizuhara's debts. Now that's been changed by Ohtani's people that the money was stolen. Well, but Ohtani is scheduled to make a statement about this situation in just a few minutes. What do you make of what we know?
Yeah, we hear Ohtani's going to speak in about 10 minutes. Tony, I don't know what to make about it. Just like I don't know what to make of Kim Mulkey. And I'm going to go back to Kim Mulkey for a second, who I am so fortunate to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame. And Kim Mulkey and I are in the same class. And I don't know what to make of Kim Mulkey. And I just decided I'm not going to decide everything or speculate on everything. Some things, and this leads me to Ohtani, some things I'm just going to let unfold. And let's just see what happens. Because I don't know what to believe necessarily. And that is the case with Ohtani. I don't know if Ohtani is covering for someone, if someone's covering for him. I don't know. We don't know enough about Ohtani. Ohtani got married like 5 minutes ago. People didn't even know that. People who thought they were close to him. We don't know. His life is not out there on Instagram like, say, LeBron James's. You know, it just isn't. We don't know everything about Ohtani. And so I'm interested to hear what he's going to say. I have no idea. I have no feelings. Now, you and I talked about this very briefly, and we talked about possible scenarios. And I said to you, Tony, I have no idea. And so I'm not going to advance it. I'm going to wait and let him advance it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with it a little bit. What we know about Ohtani is very little. It's very little. What we are sure of is even less than that. I am confident he is collateral damage, that nobody was going after him, that his name just surfaced. Beyond that, I don't know, Mike, but I think it's reasonable to ask, did he place any of these bets? Mizuhara immediately came out and said there's no baseball bets. I think it's reasonable to say, can we believe that? Because we don't really know what's going on. I will say this. I think this is maybe one of the worst professional days of Rob Manfred's life. Because he could be looking at Pete Rose. That's the worst case scenario, is Pete Rose. If it's illegal gambling with Ohtani, there's a jeopardy there for Ohtani that we don't know about. Everything that has happened in his career so far has been great. And this makes us all uncomfortable. Fair to say, Mike, it makes us uncomfortable because we don't know what it is.
I'm not even at the point of discomfort. I'm not. Because I don't know.
Oh, I am.
There's just too many. I'm not uncomfortable at all. I'm fascinated to
uncomfortable
hear this, and I
because
will devour
I think
it,
that
but I have no idea.
Mike, I think there's a gray area in messaging by professional sports, because baseball and basketball and football and hockey all have gambling partners, right? So legal gambling's okay, but illegal gambling's not okay. I'm not sure, because that could change overnight in California.
Not uncomfortable.
Let's take a
the
break.
Leagues have all gotten
coming up,
with
NFL
people,
owners debate bringing back excitement to the kickoff. With a new kickoff, and was Steve Kerr right to rest Steph Curry during a critical stretch of last night's loss to the Wolves? I am uncomfortable with the Ohtani thing. I am.
Man,
I'm surprised you're not.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to find out what's gassing up the masses in mail time.
Mail time!
I'm going to get the first one for you. I'm going to go to the glasses.
All right.
NFL owners plan to vote on a new kickoff proposal. Would you support it?
I think so, Tony. We thought there might be a vote today. There was not and is not and doesn't appear to be one coming before the end of the business day. It could come tomorrow, maybe not. I understand that the league needs to try to do something to salvage something that reminds us of some form, maybe 10% of the kickoff, which, as you and I know, our whole lives was the most exciting thing. When you see people like, hello, Gale Sayers returning kickoffs and Deion Sanders, it just, but there's so many injuries and the league has to prioritize that. And now they're trying to piece together this thing where the players are not as far apart. They don't have the collisions. I think I would be supportive. I think I would. We're told varying things, and Mark Maskey's reporting on this for the Washington Post, about what the owners believe as a group and how close they are or are not.
So I will concede, first of all, that I love the kickoff like you. It is the most exciting play in football. But I also will say that there's a disproportionate amount of injuries because of violent collisions when you start running from 40 yards out and bang into somebody. I don't go to the games for the kickoff. I like to watch it, but it's a minor part of every game. And if they changed it in order to cut down these collisions, I could live with that. What you would get if they adopt one of these spring league things, what you would get is, you know, the contact wouldn't be as severe. You might still get somebody to break the line of scrimmage and actually go for a touchdown. I've seen that happen. It's just an elongated running play over the entire breadth of the field. Look, the NFL wants to make its game safer. It's not a safe game. We understand that. But this would make it a little safer without the violent collisions. If you take out that tackle that they've already taken out, whatever that's called, something in drop, that makes it a little safer. It's not a safe game. Makes it a little safer. I can live with it. I would support it.
Tiny bit, maybe.
hip and drop. Somebody get in my ear. Steve Kerr defended resting Steph Curry in a key stretch of last night's game. Do you?
It doesn't matter, Tony. It's moot. Steve Kerr played those minutes in the previous game, and they lost. More important, what's important now is Steph Curry's out there. Steph Curry's having a great season overall. He's Steph Curry. And the Warriors are about to be eclipsed by the Houston Rockets. The Warriors are in 10th. If they fall to 11th because the Rockets have won something like 7 or 8 in a row, the Rockets will be in the play-in and the Warriors will go home. Warriors at the crib. That's what we're facing. So the Warriors have a much bigger issue here than people quibbling about Steph Curry's playing time. Because Steph Curry's out there all the time and they're in 10th. Just like LeBron James and Anthony Davis are out there all the time, and the Lakers, who have played better and won last night, even though they gave up 145, they're in 9th. So people can quibble with all the stuff and the numbers and the analytics if they want. Those teams are struggling to make the play-in. That's what matters.
Yeah. Okay, I think it's the hip and drop tackle or something like that. If it's something different, somebody will tell me later in the show. You're 100% right. All right, this is Monday, and we're talking about the Warriors. On Tuesday, we'll be talking about the Lakers, because those are the glamour teams, and the Kings and the Timberwolves and the Thunder are not the glamour teams. So, you know, Steve Kerr said, okay, it didn't work the last time. I played him the entire fourth quarter and we lost. I'm going to rest him a little bit, and I'm going to look down the road, okay, to the future. I'm not going to argue with Steve Kerr. He's got 4 rings. I'll argue in this sense. There is no future. They're a play-in team at best. The Lakers are a play-in team at best. There's no growth stocks with either of those teams. They'll win 2 in a row and we'll be delusional, but it's not going to work. Enough email. Yes. Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Chiefs are reportedly trading away one of their defensive stars, and the U.S. men's soccer team beats Mexico again.
Well, meanwhile, Tony, Tibbs is playing people like Wilt.
Hip drop.
Tibbs
it's
is playing
hip drop.
People 48 minutes a game. Unbelievable.
Right.
Josh Hart is
hip
Wilt.
Hip drop.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Sha'Carri Richardson. From the looks of their pre-Olympic ads, NBC is shining its spotlight on Richardson. She's the top American sprinter, and she has an undeniable backstory. Richardson was suspended in 2021 for cannabis use, and the United States did not select her for the Tokyo Olympics in 2021. Now with the Paris Olympics coming up, Richardson brings some powerful credentials. She was the world champion in the 100 meters in 2023. She was on the champion 4x100 relay team, and she won bronze in the 200 meters. Plus, Richardson was the U.S. 100 meters champion last year. Richardson is telegenic and appears, Mike, to be a big star in the making.
Tony, she is positioned to be a huge star, both from first performance standpoint and then the charisma she has. And I love those commercials that NBC is doing, spotlighting and telling us who the American star is going to be. But the world is small. I want to know stars from all over the world, not just the U.S. of A.
Happy anniversary, David Thompson. On this day 50 years ago, the North Carolina State superstar had 21 points to lead the Wolfpack to a national championship over Marquette. This was 2 days after Thompson led State over Bill Walton and UCLA in double overtime in the national semifinal. Thompson may well have been the biggest star in the history of the ACC, a league that has seen Michael Jordan, Christian Laettner, Ralph Sampson, Tim Duncan, Grant Hill, and Billy Cunningham, to name just a few. Thompson was the first 3-time All-ACC Player of the Year, matched only by Sampson. His career average of 26.8 points is the highest in ACC history. His last 2 seasons, North Carolina State was 57-1, and David Thompson could jump over the moon.
Tony, as you know, we didn't get to see enough of David Thompson at his best. We didn't. And, I mean, there were some unfortunate circumstances in his life, some which he might have been responsible for. And I saw enough to just, I tell people now, young basketball fans, don't go look up David Thompson. Find some video. Go to YouTube. Read about him. David Thompson, one of the all-time greats, whether you know it or not.
Happy trails to the coaching vacancy at Michigan. The Wolverines have signed Dusty May, the coach of Florida Atlantic, to replace Juwan Howard, who was fired after Michigan finished last in the Big Ten for the first time in 57 years. May, 47, was terrific at FAU. He got to the Final Four last year and made the NCAAs again this year. I think you're familiar with that, Wilbon. FAU won over 60 games in the last two seasons, which only UConn and Houston have also done. May will get 5 years at Michigan and $3.75 million annually. May was pursued by Louisville and Vanderbilt as well after posting a 126-69 record at FAU without one losing season. And May knows the Big Ten. He went to Indiana.
Tony, it was a big-time run they had there. And by the way, Mark Byington is leaving James Madison. And we just talked about Madison. They won, what, 30 games during the season that just concluded? To go to Vanderbilt. So we got a little bit of coaching carousel going on, but some names that people might not have been familiar with for the last few years, they better get familiar.
If you go to Florida Atlantic, which was nothing, absolutely nothing, and you get them to the Final Four and make the tournament the next year, even going out to your guys, right? They went out to Northwestern in overtime.
Yep.
That's a fabulous run. They're not in a position to recruit players like Power Five conferences. It's a fabulous run for this guy. All right, we're running out of show. We go to the big finish. Wilbon, you get all the questions. It's your special day. The Chiefs will reportedly trade cornerback Lajarius Sneed to the Titans for a third-round pick. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are with the Titans a little bit. I know they lost one of the all-time great running backs. They also picked up Tony Pollard. They picked up who else? Calvin Ridley. I mean, the Titans seem like they're trying, Tony. They're trying to do something here, so good for them, not just focus on Kansas City.
Let's go fast. Mike Tomlin says Justin Fields oozes talent, but Russell Wilson is in the pole position for the Steelers' starting quarterback job. Makes sense to you?
Yes, he's got two capable people that he can get them to work together if they can be coached, if they got adequate coaching, and seems to me Mike Tomlin's staff will have that.
Peter Malnati won his first PGA Tour title since 2015. Nelly Korda won on the women's side to return to world number one. Bigger deal, quick.
Well, you know, I'm a Nelly Korda guy, Tony. Keep up with everything Nelly Korda does. Glad she's back in the winner's circle.
Alex Ovechkin, 8 goals in his last 5 games. Significant?
Yeah, he's within 47 now of the great one.
He's going to catch Gretzky.
Yes, when you start talking
he's
about
gonna catch
the great one, that's significant.
Last one. The U.S. men beat Mexico 2-0 in the Nations League final. You're impressed, aren't you?
7 straight unbeaten for the U.S. against Mexico for the men. That's what I'm impressed with.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Hey, knuckleheads, we're back on the mothership tomorrow. Join us.
We're on two different networks today.